In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When something goes wrong in life, we often try to comfort ourselves, comfort each other, especially in our society, often saying things like, "It's all right. It will be okay." But in reality, you and I really don't know whether it'll be okay, whether it will be all right. And rarely do we actually have the power to make what's gone wrong right. And imagine the people in the Twin Towers on 9/11. Imagine them saying to each other, especially the ones who didn't get out, "It'll be okay." It might have calmed their hearts for a few moments, but was it really okay for them? And so we need to repent of such shallow comfort, and we need to look to our Savior, and we need to comfort people not with trite statements like that. We need to comfort people with Jesus. For the word of Jesus is not like other people's words. It gives what it says. And he says to us this day, "Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid." Now, those are commands. They're commands to not let get ourselves all excited and stirred up and befuzzled over what's going on, and to have courage in the midst of what's going on. And of course, you and I, as we live our lives, we have reason to be afraid. Our fear is not unwarranted. Especially those 12 apostles that Jesus first said those words to, they had reason. But have courage, Jesus says. And courage, of course, is not the absence of fear. We all have fear. Courage is the strength to go on even in the midst of fear. Now, when our Lord says this, it's not merely a vain command that you and I just don't have the strength to comply with, but it is a word that actually imparts what it says. This word actually gives you courage in the midst of your fear. It actually gives you calm and sober-mindedness in the midst of your anxiety. You know that old statement, "Stay calm and carry on," or however that went? This word of Jesus actually gives you that calmness, actually gives you that courage. And those apostles had reason to fear. The Lord spoke these things to them the night, the very night that he would be taken captive and put on trial, and within 24 hours of saying this, he would be dead. He knew well why his disciples would fear in those next hours. They would fear for their lives as they watched him being flogged and tormented and put on trial and falsely accused and suffer and ultimately die. But they must not lose their heads in the midst of all this. They must not give way to fear and despair. They must be courageous in the midst of chaos and evil and the terror of death. Why? Because he will leave his peace with them. He'll leave you peace with God, freedom from the Father's anger and warfare against your sin. Now, for 1,000 years up to the time of Jesus, Jews had offered blood sacrifices twice a day in the temple because of their sin. And when the Lord departed, he would leave behind peace. Peace with God. Eternal peace based not on the blood of bulls, but on his own blood poured out at the cross as the perfect Passover lamb. And so he goes to the Father to give his life blood to the Father in place of your life blood. And that means that you and I, as well as those apostles back then, we all have peace with his Father because of him. But not only that, he also promised he will send his helper, his Spirit, to them. That helper who advocates for us, the one that we heard about last week, the one who encourages us, who pleads for us before his Father and pleads within us the Father's love to us in our own hearts. That helper will come. And just 53 days after the Lord said these words, the helper would be there on the day of Pentecost today. And so our Lord's 12 apostles were told, "Do not be afraid, for the Spirit will take care of everything. He will teach you what you need to know. And he will remind you of all that the Lord said. And that was necessary because have you ever noticed that when you are anxious or scared or somewhat emotional about something, have you ever noticed how your mind doesn't necessarily work real well? And, you know, the actions you thought you were going to do that you planned out to do, you just forget to do them. The words that you were going to say, they just seem to fall right out of your head. And you're empty-headed in under the stress and the anxiety of that moment. They needed this helper because fear and terror and apprehension, they would know it. The Lord was sending them out to preach him before kings and to tell the masses of their Savior, to be eyewitnesses giving account of all that they saw so that people, even generations later, people like you and me, 2,000 years later, would believe. And so when the Lord says something, his word imparts the power to do it. He imparts his Holy Spirit to give them one word, his word, to remind them when their minds were overcome by fear, to teach them when sin made them stupid, to put into their hearts courage when their sinful nature caused their leaky hearts to be empty of his word. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He is quiet, he's unassuming about how he does things, but he is powerful. He's powerful because he gets inside of us, into our heads and into our hearts. He's the power that makes the Lord's word different from every other person's words. And he was sending these men out as eyewitnesses. He would send them his needed Holy Spirit so that they would remember everything that they saw, that they would be able to give witness to it, that they would be able to write it down so that you and I might know of it and believe in him through their words. It's the apostles' words that gave you and I faith. It's the fact that they wrote it down, that the Holy Spirit taught them and reminded them and had them write it down. That's why you and I believe now. Because the word has been passed down through generations using books, but also using people, parents, grandparents, pastors who've spoken it to you. And so the Holy Spirit unites the heart of the church when he comes into you. He unites the heart of the church so that we speak the same language. We speak the same words, words of grace and truth, words that are filled with Jesus. And this is what the day of Pentecost then was really all about. It was about reuniting the broken, fractured shards of mankind by that one word who is Jesus. And just as they had once had the unity of the same language and the same words way back sometime thousands of years ago, even though mankind had had that at one point, now through the word made flesh, there would be unity again, in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of the confusion and the babble of all the intervening centuries. Even though people might continue to speak other languages, and certainly the church on earth speaks many, many languages, pretty much every language there is, even though we speak other languages, there is a common faith and a common word in our hearts, isn't there? That word is Jesus, the word of God, the love of God, the peace of God. And there is no other word that gives peace with God other than Jesus. There's no other word that gives God's love to you other than Jesus. There is no other word that gives the fullness of God to you other than Jesus. And so Jesus is the word that must be in your heart and must be on your lips. He is that unifying word that gives freedom from God's warfare in your conscience against you. Even freedom from the warfare that goes on in our world when people love this word of God, he can even grant that freedom here, peace on earth. For the word of Jesus, the word Jesus literally means God is salvation. That's what the name Jesus means. God is salvation. And that word, that name, delivers what it says. It delivers a God who saves you. For Jesus is a man who is God and who is God's salvation for you. And so he does what his name says. He saves you. His word, his name, saves you. And thus, though the prince of this world is coming, he has no ownership. He has no claim on our Lord. Our Lord is Lord of him. And that means Satan is God's devil. He can only do what God lets him do. And even though Satan might roar and try to scare you with his the sound of his roar, that kind of thing, he's unable to harm you because he's a lion trapped in a cage. And only if you should push through those bars and break into his cage does he have any power to do anything to you. Of course, you realize what those bars are, right? Those bars are the law that God has given us. And so when you and I break the law, when we sin, then we push beyond the limits God has given us for our safety. We push into Satan's territory, and then God allows Satan to harm you at that point. But as soon as you repent, as soon as you return to your baptism, which took you out of the cage of Satan, took you out of the domain and the power of Satan, as soon as you repent, you are back outside the bars of the cage. And Satan has no power over you, because the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, God is salvation, is on you. When you were baptized, God's name was put on you. And so holy baptism is a powerful thing, for the name of God is put on you there. And that one word which does everything is marked on you, on your forehead, on your heart. And Satan has the whole world in his sway, but not Christ, not you. Not those who belong to Christ whose name is on them. And so not only is Jesus marked on us, but the Helper is ours and he is in us. He comes quietly, shyly even, without any flash or sizzle. He comes to us through water, united with God's word, the name of God. He comes to us through words being spoken here, Christ's words spoken in our hearing. He comes through that one word, and he calls us sons of Adam, daughters of Eve. He calls us out of the power of Satan and unites the church and makes a body for Christ in this world so that Christ can continue to speak in this world. And he enlightens us to speak so that we might call more unto him. And this is what it means when we say that last part of the creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. For those are all things that the Holy Spirit works in us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.